Important reporting. But maybe you're looking for a new read to take you away. Oh, we have one. My sister sat down to read it and only got up when she finished. It's Valentine, a stunning first novel from Elizabeth Wetmore, which debuted at number 2 on the New York Times bestseller list this week. It's set in 1976 in oil country, Odessa, Texas. And it begins brutally. 14-year-old Gloria, or Glory, has been raped and beaten by a young roughneck, but he's a local, and her mother is an undocumented Mexican immigrant. In the eyes of many, Gloria was asking for it, climbing into his truck at a local drive-in like that. But some of the women in town take her side, and it's through women's eyes that we watch this glorious novel unfold. Valentine has gotten raves from Publishers Weekly and The Washington Post, as well as writers like Ann Patchett and Elizabeth Gilbert. And author Elizabeth Wetmore is here. Elizabeth, we understand in 1976, you were a young girl in that part of Texas.
Yes, I grew up in Odessa. I was born and raised there, so these characters were very familiar to me. And also, you know, like a lot of writers, I was a weird kid who spent a lot of time eavesdropping. And so I have very clear memories of sitting on the back porch, you know, after dinner, listening to my mom and her girlfriends have cocktails and smoke cigarettes. It was the 70s. Mm-hmm. And talk about their lives. So the voices were really familiar to me from the get-go. And then, of course, the stories just happened. You know, those were my imagination.
And so you've got, you know, a young woman who got pregnant at 15 and after a few years just gets in her car and drives as far as she can. Another young woman trying to hold it all together, selling Tupperware, you know, and lecturing her daughter on, you know, be careful of men. As the Publishers Weekly Review points out, West Texas is usually the territory of the novels of Larry McMurtry or the movies of John Sayles. But this is a female-centered story. Those are masculine. You're conscious of that, obviously, when you did this.
Well, I was. My thinking at the beginning of the book was that it would be very hard to set a book in the oil patch without male points of view. But there was a moment where it became very clear to me that the right thing to do was to give the story over to the women and girls in its entirety. And I'm so glad I made that choice.
Yeah. Well, some of the men are hard, but you help us understand why. It's not just the oil industry. It's cattle ranchers who have to often shoot their whole herd because the price has gone down so low they can't afford to keep them. And you describe men, you know, in a bar sitting around complaining about 1976 America. Nixon had been their man, and now with Watergate in the rearview mirror, the men were beginning to understand they'd not only lost their leader, they'd lost their war against chaos and degeneracy. Black Panthers and Mexicans, communists and cult leaders. I mean, you know, this could resonate today, too. To them, the world as they knew it had just gone to heck in a handbasket.
Yeah. And in fact, I mean, obviously, I started this book long ago. I started this book 14 years ago. But yeah, I mean, I've now, of course, I look back on it and I think, you know, it's easy to think that some of what's going on in the country right now is new. But in fact, these little pockets of deep, deep conservatism have always been there.
There's also a casual racism throughout the book. Some of your characters that one would expect might be prejudiced are not towards Glory, this young Mexican-American girl. But then others, you know, have this casual hatred of her.
Right. I think some of us, you know, have grown up in places where that kind of casual racism is really stitched into the fabric of the culture, you know. And so then, of course, the question for me became how to tackle that head on and still delve into the complexity of these characters. The same person who's racist in one moment goes home and cares for her children with great love and affection in the next moment.
Well, you also show how some of the young women in this working class community are nauseated by the racism and how ostracized they are and how, you know, powerless they are in a way. They're powerless to begin with, so they're certainly powerless to do anything about the racism they're seeing. And I just want to talk a little bit about that powerlessness and the way women are casually spoken of, all the jokes. What do you call a single mother that has to be up early in the morning? A sophomore. Or what's the first thing a girl from Odessa does when she wakes up in the morning, finds her shoes, and walks home? Did you hear that when you were growing up? Is that how women were spoken of?
Some of those jokes were made up, but they were very much in the spirit of, you know, sort of local jokes that people tell. As in racism, I really wanted to deal with the status of women head on, in part because I very much see Valentine as a novel about hope in the midst of some pretty terrible circumstances. And I wanted to write about the ferocity of these women's spirits and to see their lives as a testament to this truth that no matter how flawed one is, no matter how powerless one may feel, even if you've been on the wrong side of history, that it's possible, no matter who you are, to act with enormous dignity and integrity and tenderness and mercy and all the things, you know. Mm-hmm. But to do that, I wanted to be very clear about the circumstances of these women's lives.
Yeah, but this is really a gift to this part of Texas. It really is. I mean, it is a love letter. People with their flaws and also their virtues and their landscape. There's one line, how lonely it is out there. How lovely.
Indeed. And in fact, I didn't write about my hometown for a very long time because I felt as if I couldn't find the kind of love in my heart that's required to write a novel. And honestly, the way I found my way back to sort of seeing my hometown, you know, clearly enough to be able to write about it initially was through falling back in love with the land. Each time I would go back home, I would take these long drives in the desert, and it's a major stopover for sandhill cranes. So if you drive out there in the winter, you could come across these fields that just have thousands and thousands of sandhill cranes, mm-hmm. you know. And so, yeah, that was kind of how I found my way to be able to work on the book initially, was through falling in love with that land.
Yeah. Well, again, if people are stuck at home and they want to be transported but also enriched, we highly recommend Elizabeth Wetmore's debut novel, Valentine. Elizabeth, thank you.
Robin, thank you so much. It's really been an honor to be here.
Honor's ours.